Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all things Macintosh. I've been replaced by a sausage roll, which is absolutely perfect for this time of year. Nothing better at Christmas than a sausage roll, especially from Greg's. Greg's are superb for sausage rolls. None of you have got that because you're all foreign, aren't you?
I know exactly what you're
We're here to discuss all the stuff that's gone on with Mac. Typical panel, the usual swing-a-ding bunch. Starting us off, Doc. What's happening,
hey.
Brother?
Good. Realizing that after I got my stuff set back up, I need to adjust some studio lights here. I'm looking a little green. Anyway.
Well, the background,
I was going to comment on that, but I'm glad you brought it up, not me.
No. I mean, even the foreground, it's a lighting thing. I just was rearranging lights after I got everything put back together, and it's not exactly set correctly because I've been too busy.
Based on the fact that this podcast is likely to freeze 10 minutes in and I have to restart everything, a touch of gray, and you're being a little picky there, I have to say, mate.
I'm not going to touch anything. Just leave it alone.
Sorry about last week. I owe everyone an apology for not turning up for the show, but I owe you the biggest apology because you actually got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to come and do it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was correct. But then as soon as you said, hey, I'm not feeling good, I'm going back to sleep, I think I closed my eyes before I got to the pee.
Well, you're an old man. No. I don't believe that because you're an old man. You'll have to have a pee first.
Exactly. This is true. This is very true.
Next to him, another old man. Adam, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, and I was messing with lights this morning, too, and I don't think it made a difference.
You've gone lustrous, mate. We came in, and you were under a cloud, literally. Santa Monica's under a cloud. And then, you're not in Santa Monica, are you? San Diego. And now you're lustrous, mate. You're gorgeous.
Oh, good. It's a little harsh on the side, but anyway, I don't know. Doesn't matter. Just glad to be here.
Yeah. You had a good week?
Yeah, I got sick too. I was sick on Friday as well, so I was fully happy that you canceled things. Because actually, I got sick later in the afternoon. But
yeah, okay.
Yeah. Something's going around.
Boots. I was rough as old boots last week. Needed it. Yep. Next to him, Patrice. Been traveling, mate. Where you been traveling to?
I was in the Czech Republic yesterday, just for basically a day and a half, so not too long.
Right, okay.
Just a short trip.
And any plans for returning in the summer, if you know what I mean?
But I don't know yet. I mean, there's something on the horizon that might make that a little bit more difficult. I can't tell yet. But if at all possible somehow, I will do it.
We our German market started yesterday, and first thing Bryony said is Patrice coming over?
Yeah,
because she really associates the German that comes to visit with the German market now.
Yeah, nice. The Frankfurt German market. So,
hey, Pat, are you going to be here during your show day?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, cool. So
you'll be there 2 weeks, so, yeah.
From the green room one day.
Oh, that'd
yeah,
be awesome.
We can do that.
Nice. We'll you gotta get up early though.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I've got a really good line in my head, but I can't deliver it because it's really insulting. Because I keep threatening to put a pair of tits behind Doc, and I just thought, well, if you and Jerome are there.
Just clean it up and call it a pair of gits.
Oh, that'll do, yeah. Next to him, it's Mr. Silhouette himself, Greeny Boy. You've all gone to all this trouble, you're lighting, and here's a bloke who looks like he's trapped in a chimney.
What?
Because he is.
It's not about looks. Yeah, well, I radiate light, don't I? So.
I've got to say, your picture says otherwise at the moment, Greeny.
Well, maybe it's only his back. Yeah.
Oh, right. So that's you're actually illuminating the wall, got you?
That pretty much. Yeah, that's my plan.
You've had your haircut.
I just want the light to turn on.
So basically, he's saying the light comes out of...
Greeny's ass.
The backside. Yeah.
There's
a whole design. Website dedicated to Greeny's ass.
There is.
You've had a haircut, Greeny.
It has its own Twitter account.
I've had a very serious haircut. I quite like it now.
Yeah, Mr. Corporate.
I was a bit shocked at first, but I sort of started waxing it back and stuff like that, and it's okay. It's good.
It's Francis.
Wax on, wax off.
Francis looking good on you. Yeah, that's it.
France is absolutely super. It's a wonderful place to be.
Well, you keep holding out, mate, because Patrice and I have been talking. We reckon that you're the secret to Brexit talks and negotiations, because they'll probably pay $40 billion to get you out at some point. If we have you back, there's the $40 billion debt written off.
Wait, so if you're in France now, does it mean you guys are going to take a break in the middle of the show?
Yeah, a little bit of wine, a little bit of baguette.
With the union situation there, you're lucky they're even here.
it's amazing because it's a totally new thing. So half the week they're pretty much closed. And even when they're open, they take 2 hours over lunchtime to close to have
lunch,
wine and food with their family. And so the French shops are only open for... So we get a little bit in the morning between sort of 9 and 12. Then they're closed for 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. Then they do a couple of hours left of what's left of the day, I should say. And that's it. That's the whole sort of work ethic.
They're geniuses.
Yes. And I would have thought you'd have fitted right into that, really.
Well, people keep beeping me as I walk down the street.
Now, the thing is, everywhere that serves lunch is also closed for 3 hours. That's the only problem with it.
It's absolute madness, but it's genius madness, as you say.
Yeah. And last but by no means least, man who's been on a day out and is now back. We heard your dog welcoming you home before you even got in. Yep. James Rickards.
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm sorry about that. I probably drove as quick as I possibly could. I'm without laptop, so I've had to install Skype on my wife's MacBook Air. My AirPods, I don't think are working, so it's pointless me wearing those. I don't know what's going on. So I might have to reset halfway through this.
I've got to say, you look and sound better than you have on any other show in the past.
It's true.
And are you joking?
The picture is way better.
Can't be right.
There's no pixelation. There's no nothing. You've even got moderate lip sync.
That's good.
So that
I'm sharing it with Greece, but it can't be bad, can it?
Before we get started, you've got to fill us in on the current state of your MacBook, mate. Jesus Christ. It just works, mate. Apparently.
I tell you what, anybody want to buy one?
Not yours.
The minute it gets back, it's going to be well and truly thrown against the wall. It's an ongoing saga, really, and I'm so disappointed. You know,
is it still the keyboard?
I worked for the company for 10 years, and I love Apple. It's a great company to work for. But you know, obviously, I left nearly a year ago now, and it's been a bit of a journey for me because you know I'm seeing it from the consumer side now. So somebody who's bought a laptop and now looking at Apple as a company that can help them out if you run into any issues. And as you know, they replaced every single piece. So Doc said if there was a 661 part and there's three of them on a on an invoice when it gets from Payable Genius, you should get a swap out straight away. And I kind of did get a swap out, but they replaced everything other than the aluminium bottom, which carries a serial number. So I still have my original computer, but the only original part is the aluminium bottom. Now, as you know, when the Mac show 2 weeks ago started, my C button just stopped working, which is a bit of a pain because you need to copy and paste a bit. And after a long, lengthy kind of discussion with Apple, over sort of the chat, they said, oh yeah, we'll send UPS to come and pick up, which is lovely. They'll pick it up and they will take it to an authorized fixer and fix your laptop up for you, and then they will turn it. And I was like, well, okay, but this is the second one and I'd really just like a replacement. They said, oh, we'll see once the laptop gets here. Fast forward 8 days, and nothing happens. I phoned up AppleCare and said, what's going on? They said, it's being fixed and it will be with you in 2 to 3 days. And I said, well, I don't want that laptop back. I want a new one because 8 days of that laptop means I've done nothing for 8 days. I've quite actually been flying a drone around France and doing not much else. And they said, well, unfortunately, because you're in France, you have to take the laptop back to the country of origin, which is obviously the UK.
What?
Now, absolutely, this is what they said. So you've got to take your laptop back to the country of origin, take it to a Genius Bar. They have to then assess that there is a problem with it, And then you'll have a 14-day lead time between getting your new replacement laptop. No. So that means
that I waited. That is so different from the way it was.
Pardon?
No, that's different from the way it was, because the point of the worldwide warranty was the worldwide warranty. Like, I replaced computers from people coming in from Japan or whatever, you know? Or, I mean, I've even replaced a computer for a lady that came from Jamaica. So I don't get it. The worldwide replacement, I mean, worldwide warranty is worldwide warranty. I mean, granted, each country has different, you know, like, caveats. And it would be, I guess it makes sense, you know, from a shareholder standpoint to, you know, I guess sort of follow the rules of the country if it's saving you money in some way, shape, or form. But it's not if you are the number one company in the planet and that little bit of coin is not going to kill you. Mm. That doesn't make sense.
I mean, the only reason I can see is that it's an issue of keyboard layouts. I mean, France does have a different keyboard layout than the UK. And so they probably don't have any devices. But I think Apple should be able to solve that. Simply send one over from the UK or from China, to be honest.
So if they can send 8 million phones around the world on the same day, they can send dude a laptop.
Exactly.
It's kind of sad that the new guys, they don't know anything about triage. And I don't want to pick on everybody, but my last situation, which was really like a week and a half ago when I didn't have my iMac, I'm like, I can't believe that the guy that was helping me, like his sort of responses and his sort of attitude and whatever, so like that, none of that mess would have flied when I was in charge of the jeans bar. I would have skinned that kid. But they're like, it's just kind of funny. The level of triage is slightly different now. And I don't think you have that diehard guy working behind the counter, but maybe one or two per store. They've gotten so big that maybe they can't fill that kind of, you know, stuff anymore. And the people like us who know how to do it and would probably be great at that position, we're sort of unhirable now because Apple don't want anybody that has a big social profile on their, you know, working for them. Like, I wasn't able to blog or podcast or anything when I worked there, which is why I left podcasting for a while. So, yeah, it's kind of sad that it's gotten so big that it's a ship that's hard to sail.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad luck, James. My heart goes out to you. I don't want to take the piss. It's truly horrific to lose your baby. Definitely.
It is.
Yeah, they called him today.
Did they?
Yeah, but James was out, so I took the call.
Oh, and?
And
you said everything's
and they said,
fine.
We've got a brand new MacBook Pro for you. Do you want it? And I said, no, it's okay. I'm quite happy with the old crap.
The funny thing is, that's so believable. Like, you would do that.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that I would simply send to feedback@apple.com or timcook@apple.com, because I don't think this is in any customer's best interest.
Sorry.
Tim sent you an email before, James, so he'd be on his whitelist.
You are. I mean, just on a different caveat, I did manage to go past, I've just been to a city which is about an hour and 20 down the road, and there was one of these Apple, it was actually one of the most beautiful Apple reseller shops I've probably ever seen, and it's in this beautiful city called, Limoges, that's right. Anyway, I actually picked up an iPhone 10, as in like to actually see it and pick it up and play with it, and oh my God, what a beautiful piece of kit. Mine's been delivered to England, so I've got to wait till middle December to go and pick it up. But on the plus side, I've seen it, and what a beautiful machine. Absolutely lovely.
Mm. Yeah, no.
So they're still doing great stuff, which is good news.
It's as soon as you get back home, I would re-bring up the issue with them about getting a replacement. Just tell them that you feel super uncomfortable with this machine, and it's just been way too long. I would just re-bring up the issue.
Well, it's been 12 days now, so I think 12 days without your Mac. Yeah, it's bad, and I've got to obviously keep all the receipts and do all that sort of stuff. So,
and if you're using the wife's MacBook Air, it's obviously your own only Mac.
Well, this is my wife's, and you know she is glued to it. She's a bit of an eBay demon. Everything in my house has been bought through eBay. My bed, I mean, I could look around this room and tell you everything in this house has been bought through eBay because my wife's very frugal. She knows what she's doing. And me stealing it away just to do this show today is a bit like she doesn't know what to do with herself. I swear she's probably staring at the wall downstairs waiting for me to finish with it.
This sounds like an H.G. Wells novel where you go through the entire thing and you get to the end and find out that you were bought on eBay as well.
You know, that brings up an interesting, actually, topic maybe to talk about. I don't know how you guys are, but I am reticent often to get rid of older machines for this exact kind of scenario. Like, I have a few around the house. Mm-hmm. We have one kind of MacBook Air that's an older MacBook Air that's kind of communal. Few people in the family use, mainly my daughter and myself, but you know, like, that's my machine. Like, if my MacBook Pro goes down, that's the machine that I will commandeer. And even like the one replaced, I had a 2011 MacBook Pro that had the logic board GPU issue, right? That everybody is well documented and people know about. The GPUs go out on those, the discrete GPUs. And I even spent a weekend figuring out how to hack that thing to permanently disable the integrated GPU, so I can actually use that machine now too. It will boot and run, and you know, it's like I'm just going to keep that around for these kinds of exact scenarios because, you know, it unfortunately it does happen, and it sounds like it's happening more. So it sounds like more and more people almost need. You know, we talk about backups for our computers, which I think a lot of us are religious about, but you almost need a backup computer, especially if you're the type of person who that's your livelihood, right? That's the thing that you need day in and day out. Like I can't imagine going 12 days without a machine. I would be losing serious money.
Yeah, I mean, I did say to the woman, you know, it's pretty much 400 quid a day, and she didn't seem to care too much. As lovely as she was, right. You know, I kind of stressed the importance that, you know, I said, I've been to Rome, I've took my drone with me, I've got footage to edit, I'm just left here. And she says, I understand the situation. But, you know, that whole listen and what's the other word they use? Acknowledge and all that sort of stuff. So, she's Apple. Using all those steps.
It's align, acknowledge, what is it? Align, acknowledge, prepare, something, yeah, stupid.
Yeah,
I hate that. I used to get in fights about that thing.
totally. Proper Apple tool there, but there you go.
Yeah, I do think, like, if you're that type of person where it's that, you're in that scenario, you almost need to have, as much as it's a cost hit, you almost need to have, like, a backup Mac. Just lying around, sitting, waiting in the wings.
The thing is, when you work with motion graphics like I do, and this is my kind of point really, they kind of did offer to send a loaner out, but by the time I've loaded all of my tools on, so my Final Cut, my Motion, and then all my plugins, and then my font set, we're talking hours and hours of just sitting there loading content, which then feels a greater loss of time, if that makes sense.
Do you not just run, like, I have a backup drive that's just an exact clone, and I've actually been considering, it's not an SSD currently, but just purchasing an SSD to have that be the clone, because I've heard, you know, you can really run booted off a external SSD on a modern Mac, and it's a very minor performance hit in terms of, and then it's just like your machine never left.
Adam, that was my
I got one in my hand right here as soon as you presses the switch button.
Yeah, no.
There you go. This is exactly it. This is an exact perfect clone of my machine that I keep on this. And I run it right before I leave the office. I plug this into the USB, and every night at roughly 2 a.m., Carbon Copy Cloner runs, and it re-replicates the disk. So at any given day, at worst case scenario, I would be a half a day or so behind, you know, depending on what time of day I were to have a problem. And this has, right. I've been doing this for probably about 4 years. This thing has come in handy well more times than you would believe. Just a small minor problem. You don't know what it is. You don't want to dick with it. Just reboot with that, do your stuff, and then go back and figure out what's wrong. And it's been the greatest thing. It's honestly the best thing ever.
That's what I do with that MacBook Air, is I have a clone. And so I did, Apple took my machine for a week, and that's how I got by for a week. It wasn't ideal, but I was able to, you know, continue working and not really skip a beat. And then when the machine came back, obviously just restore from that clone, and then the machines all update and caught up. That's sort of how I handle it.
Which was the last one where you could have two drives in? It was a 2011.
Yeah, well, that, yeah. I so had two I had, drives. In
I had 21. two 1 terabyte drives in my 2011 MacBook Pro, and when that failed, it was a top spec computer. It was $3,000. And I went into them and they diagnosed the fault with the logic board, and I said, I want the drive out. And he said, well, we can't, we're going to send it off. I said, look, the drive doesn't make any difference. You can stick any drive in there because it's the logic board failure. It's not the drive failure. You've already identified that. Give me the drive and then I can use the drive myself. And he went, okay. And I was part of a joint venture. So I got a loaner MacBook Pro there and then from the Genius Bar. And he gave me the thing. I went out. I plugged in me. It was the Go Drive. You know the
Go Drive.
Seagate Go Drive thing. Plugged that adapter in. Thunderbolted it into the side, and bang! I just boosted off that, and that was it. And it, and I'm going back to 2011. It's always done it very, very well.
The only thing I would say though, most Macs will be okay, won't they, if you boot from an external drive. But if, for instance, Jim gets a new Mac, it's a different specification, and then tries to restore from that, that can cause a few problems. I have had that experience.
He's not trying to restore, though. He's just trying to run the whole computer from the drive.
What I'm saying is, he's got that, he's got his backup, and then he tries to restore from that, and if it's a different Mac, it can run into problems.
He won't be able to restore from a drive like that.
No.
That would be a carbon copy clone thing, which you wouldn't want to do anyway.
You just talk about being able to import some video and just create a new film and edit from fresh, other than
The way to solve the problem that Greeny's talking about, because it does happen from time to time, especially when there's a major graphics card change. For the most part, the hardware kegs are interchangeable, but you will run into an issue. And all you have to do, if you ever do that, like say you're in a pinch, you say you restored from another Mac and the new Mac is acting a little funny. All you need to do is do it, install in place. Which you can do by holding Command R and then just reinstall OS 10, it will fix itself and it sort of self-heals. So it does cause a problem, but it's easy to fix. But normally what I do is clean install and migration assistant. Then that's much smoother.
Right. Yep.
Right. Okay.
Cool. Thank
you. People at home, I'm sure you guys all know that, but I'm not the people at home that might hear this and say, hey, that's a good tip.
Welcome back to the Help Show.
It's probably the most useful advice we've given in 5 years.
No. We used to run the Help Show, and the Help Show was a really good show. We only ever did about 6 of them, I think. But it was just time trying to get them done. And you've been on that, Doc, yeah. And it was people writing in with questions like, this has happened. I can't do this. How do I solve this problem? And we used to answer them. We used to have some really cool people on. With Darren Griffin.
It's been my intent to bring it back, but I've just been busy as all hell.
Yeah, no, I want to bring that back, definitely.
I am just curious. So James, so the only reason this has been gone for 12 days is you're trying to get a replacement, or what are they fixing? Because they had just fixed the whole entire thing. So I guess I still didn't understand, or maybe I missed that part.
So all I'm aware of, Adam, is because obviously it's all in French. I had an email off the company who were the authorized 20 years experience in Apple computer fixing, saying that we've had to order a part. And your Mac will be with you shortly. And that's kind of what the...
So this is because of the C key, but it's just real short. It's because of the C key thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I will be interested to see what parts have been replaced. So I'm sort of waiting with bated breath to find out what part has been replaced. I shall, get back to you.
not to draw this out, but I mean, there are so many people that are having this keyboard issue. This feels exactly like the 2011... MacBook Pro GPU issue, where it's a serious design flaw, and simply swapping out the same part with the same part over and over again is never going to fix the underlying issue. Like, they need to completely redesign the mechanism. Like,
they already have. Trust me, they started, but what they're going to do now, until they can get the company that made the part for them to own up to it, they're going to keep swapping it, because that's what the lawyers make them do, and then eventually, once it gets solved, there'll be a serial number range that shows up on support.apple.com that would tell all of those people who send your machines in and we're sending you new machines. Well, that's coming, but it takes them a long time to gather that
GPU
data.
Issue. So, it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I buy that.
I would say, Adam, that I do know, as I have my fingers in the apple pie, as it were, still. It is just commonly known as the sticky keys. So for all the people who are actually fixing these and having the issues with them, it's just known as the sticky keys. So they're more than aware of it being being an issue.
So
there you go. It's just
they have a support article specifically designed to talk about it. So
yeah,
unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Sorry, you're going through that.
Yeah,
it's a shame, but hopefully I'll get it resolved. So thank you.
We weren't going to take the piss for very long either.
We've gone on and on.
That's 20 minutes now.
Family.
20 minutes now. So the question on everyone's lips then is the notch. How do you wear yours? Apparently, this is a thing now where people are just demonstrating how they use their notch. So, Adam,
what?
How do you use yours?
I'm not really sure what that means. I embrace it. Some
people
just using it straight out of the box, the way Apple designed it, and I actually like the. I prefer the look. I think I posted in the Slack the image from with the three options that Apple would have had to design the thing. And honestly, when I look at it, I think the notch was the best choice. It actually turned me around because I wasn't a big fan of it. If you probably listened to the live show we did, my reaction to the notch was probably pretty negative. But having lived with it now and also seeing how Apple could have handled it, I think it makes the most sense. It maximizes the screen. It does give them a little bit of area for the status bar stuff that they're kind of tucked away neatly. And I think the only problem right now is that a lot of apps just aren't designed optimized for it yet, but that'll come.
There's one guy who had Batman as his lock screen, and so the notch was the cow ears, and he was like, I'm going to embrace this notch, and he just made a Batman wallpaper. Pretty funny.
People are making wallpapers so that it smooths the notch out, so it's all black.
Did you see the image Kelly Gumont posted of her friend's iPhone with Bert?
No, and
the notch is the unibrow.
It's great.
Awesome. Funny.
Cool.
I was speaking to a friend yesterday who's got the iPhone 10. As I said, mine's in the UK waiting for me to pick it up. Somehow I'm sort of holding on with that bated breath. And he was saying that, and you have to tell me because I don't know, that the thing that he didn't like was the fact that he'd accidentally put it in airplane mode and the top right-hand notch doesn't show you the airplane mode sign. Is that right?
Let me see. I don't think that's right.
It does. I just tried it. It does.
It does.
It shows the airplane.
Hang on. I just want a call here because, Patrice, I'm not getting an iPhone 10 just tested.
Apple got to me.
You lily livered.
Yeah.
Oh, it is there, yeah.
You fanboy.
No, I'm going to admit it. I mean, Apple got to me, but they only got a 64 gig out of me. I wasn't willing to pay anymore.
I'm not buying it. I'm definitely not buying it. Oh, Patrice.
it's a beautiful piece of technology.
Honestly, if I let you borrow this for a week, you wouldn't give it back.
Patrice. I'm more amazed at Patrice's lack of willpower.
Yeah,
and this definitely is the true.
This is the thing about the 10. Like, if you're curious about the 10 and you're on the fence, and I read this bit of advice, and I think it's the absolute right bit of advice. If you're going to go to an Apple store, I'm actually amazed at James's resolve, and not, I guess, because you already have one on order. But if you're going to go in and look at one, do not take your credit card with you. Do not take anything with Apple Pay on it. Do not. You know, because you will be seriously tempted.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend not even looking at it. I think this, I mean, I tried it in the store and that was basically it. I mean, I couldn't even order one that day, but that was it.
Oh, you and they made me.
Wow.
They held my nose. They wouldn't let me.
You need it for development purposes, don't you?
That's my reasoning behind it. But really, no, I just bought it because I liked it.
Yeah, you got to optimize your UI.
Yeah.
It is so freaking amazing. It just is.
Oh, all right. Okay, fanboy.
Why, it's the truth. Like, why is that a fanboy is to like something? I don't get it.
It's a joke.
Like,
yeah. It's a joke. I got a big one. Google Pixel has released its $159 headphones designed to compete with the Apple AirPods. And there's a test of them on Mac Rumors, which I read with very great interest, because there's two products that you will never hear me say a bad word about. The AirPods and the Pencil. And they tested it, and the AirPods won hands down.
They're amazing.
They are truly, truly wonderful devices. I absolutely adore my AirPods. They go everywhere with me. My only thing with the AirPods is I want them to be a little bit more intelligent with the devices. So if I
open, yeah, me too.
If I've got them in and it knows I'm wearing them, I want the compute. So like, if it's, even if I've got my MacBook on and I've got my phone on, if it knows I'm wearing them and I start playing my phone and playing audio, I want them to know that that's what I want to listen to. And if it's not, I want a button that says, no, I don't. But you would like a personal universe button or slider or something in general settings where you could go, yeah, whatever the latest sound source is, use that.
So
that'd be cool.
I will tell you about one thing, and maybe James, you can, if you've been talking to those Apple people, you can confirm this, but I've had this from more than one person who has contacted me. There is a slight issue where people are reporting their AirPods will lose volume over time, or one might start to lose volume over time. And the reality of why this is happening is people, you need to keep your ears clean and you need to clean your AirPods. Basically, wax is getting impacted into the speaker holes. And once it's in there, there's no way to get it out. So, and Apple's actually replacing AirPods for people because of this. But keep your ears clean and check your AirPods from time to time and clean those suckers out.
I think that's really good of Apple, because everyone complained about the removal of the earphone jack, but they've actually managed to get the fault that was common with the earphone jack, with lint getting stuck in it, to work on the AirPods. That's awesome.
Right.
Just so people don't feel
left out. Believe me, I had someone email me and say, I've got one AirPod, and I said, have you checked to see if it's check and see if it's clean. I tried to say it as delicately and nicely as possible.
You feel sure enough,
he emailed me back, yeah, that was gross, and it's fixed now. I cleaned it out.
So,
I mean, I love my AirPods. I even put one in when I'm driving the car just in case a call comes in, etc. So I actually do like my AirPods. When I play my Xbox with my very good friend in England, I actually wear these instead of using Xbox Live to talk to my friend in England. So I put these on and I'm playing Xbox. It's brilliant using FaceTime audio. So I love them. I love them. The only thing I was a bit concerned of was doing this show, because normally I would use these to listen and talk to you guys, and I found that the battery would run out within the time of me doing the show. So in other words, I would have to take one out during the show, put it back in its case, and then let it charge up, and then kind of swap them out. Because I'm thinking, you to me, they should last 5 hours.
They're supposed to be 5 hours playtime.
Yeah.
But is it 5 hours playtime, 5 hours talk time?
No, I just flew back and forth to Japan, and it's a 9-hour flight, and I literally had mine in my ears at one point for like 4 hours before I put it in the thing, and that was only because I was afraid I might accidentally drop it in the toilet in the bathroom, so, you know, watch it flush out at 30,000 feet. So, I mean, I've literally run mine for more than 4 hours before getting up to take a wee.
So, yeah, I can't think that's right, James.
Okay, because I mean, like I said, I was having to take one out and charge one during the show. Have you left your door open, Will?
I think you're not allowed to buy Apple Kit no more, because you're screwing up the quality control.
Yeah, you are. You're getting higher than your normal hit potential for faulty products. You're like me, mate.
I'm going to have to stop buying it. God knows what my iPhone 10 is going to be like. I had it delivered probably 2 weeks ago. And because obviously I'm a tight ass, I won't have it shipped to England. I said, I'm going back on the 7th of December. I'll pick it up then. I'm just ready to open it and something being wrong with it. They're going, well, you've had it 2 weeks.
Yeah, no.
I I'll just pick it up.
A comment on the charging thing, though, I almost consider that somewhat of a feature and one of the reasons I really like them, because I'll be using them over several nights because I usually pop them in to watch, you know, movies or TV shows at night. And I'll forget to, you know, like, I'll leave them out or whatever it might be and not get them back in the charging case. Sometimes I just take them off and I set them on the nightstand and I'll go several nights without, you know, throwing them into the charger. And then you'll get the little noise, right? It starts going out. And it's awesome to be able to go, oh, okay, I've got, you know, 15% left on these. Let me just pop one out, put it in the charger, let it get back up to 100%. And then you just swap them and you don't have to stop what you're doing. And they charge up so quickly, you know, 15 minutes or so. And you've got a good charge ready to go. And you can just pop them back in. And eventually you get back to where both are in. And that feature alone is awesome versus, you know, something that has a cord between them, which I think like those Pixel Buds still have a cord between them, right? You're going to have to kind of pop them out, take them completely out to charge them. You don't have that option. So
a feature. Because the thing is with mine though, my AirPods, if I take them out, they go back into the charging case anyway. That's my default action. So they get no choice but to recharge. So if I don't leave them anywhere.
One thing that I will say that I've discovered is I got this nice little pouch here. I picked up at the dollar store in Japan, and I'm sure you can find these anywhere, but this is a great way to keep him from turning blue, because I just bought a brand new set of blue jeans, compliments of minusing the waist a little bit. I bought like 5 new pair of jeans, and my case got blue real quick, and it took me a while to get that blue off, so I bought the little case just to keep it from getting scratched up, because that's the only thing I really don't like about it, and I'm a little bit of a Mitch when it comes to my kit. And the fact that the thing gets a little crusty and dirty, and I don't like it. And even the lint that you can't get out this corner right here, that drives me insane. So I've been tweaking. I tweak on it all the time while I'm watching TV. I have a little toothbrush, and I'm trying to get that crap out, and I just can't do it. That's the only thing I don't like about my AirPods. It's hard to clean.
Yeah, you know, I've left my AirPods a couple of times at home in the morning. I took the case with me thinking that the AirPods were in there, but I had just put them somewhere, I don't know, on the table or something on the kitchen counter and forgot about it. So I wish they would just send an alarm or whatever. Hey, you're leaving without your AirPods.
Yeah, the other scenario, Ewan, that I get into with the AirPods not charging is I put them back in the case, but I've forgotten that I have never plugged the case back in for like a week and a half. Yeah. And so I'll flip open the case and the light's amber. That's why they're at 11%, even though they were in the charging case, because the dang case isn't charged up. So that's again when I'll plug in the case next to the nightstand, pop one of the earbuds in, and then, you know, just keep rocking. So that's cool too.
iPhone is named one of the top 25 inventions for 2017 in the Time magazine.
The iPhone 10 or the iPhone in 10. General?
No, the iPhone 10 is named one of the best 25. I think it's a bit soon for that, but I looked at the list of what else was in there, and there's like a tech robot that talks to you. Fantastic. I think that's very good. A mug that can heat your coffee separately to the right temperature and keep it there. Well done.
I need that.
However, makeup shades for every skin tone was in there as one of the best as well, and it's above the iPhone 10. And guilt-free ice cream is also the best invention.
Guilt-free ice cream.
But if you actually look at the list, it's the list of the there's some real shit in there, is what I'm saying. Elevators that move up and down and side to side, and there isn't any to print. They've got a concept drawing there. The smarter smartphone, and then a hijab that empowers Muslim athletes.
How does it empower them?
It empowers them because it follows their religious requirements and gives them the freedom to do stuff. Clinics that redefine preventative care, doesn't say what that is, and a shoe engineered to boost performance. So it's a bit of a shit list anyway. I was going to say it's a bit soon for iPhone 10 to be in the best inventions of 2017, but it based on the company around it, it's topped by a bloody mile.
It's all I'd pick, I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
I haven't had my hands on an iPhone 10 yet. No. And but I was listening to Leo Laporte, and I was talking about it with Jim, and he's totally in love with it. He said, you know, he wanted to hate it because it's so expensive, but he's totally in love with it. And I suppose until you got your hands on one and you spent a couple of months with it, you won't realise what is so good about it. You were talking about the you know, that little sort of cutout at the top of the screen.
The notch, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's a bit ugly, I my thinking. But old Leo, he was saying that you soon sort of ignore that and it sort of goes away.
It's like letterboxing in a movie. I mean, when you're using it on a day-to-day basis, it just falls away.
Goes away.
Yeah.
I'm sure this conversation went around like crazy during the development time. And if I had to, honestly, if you had to ask me ahead of time, would I rather than move it up a little bit and keep the screen integrity and just not have that bezel to bezel versus tuck it in, I probably would have been on the same side of the folks that said, put the line above it, keep the integrity straight. Now that they've coalesced it into this nice little spot, I appreciate the size of the phone the way it is, and it goes away real quick. Before we skip the note, I just want to say, if you get a chance, check out on YouTube, there's a lady named Ibti Hajj Muhammad. She's a U.S. fencer. And there was a lot of noise about her wearing her hijab during the Olympics last year. And then, so I'm pretty sure that Nike and her came up with that that it wouldn't, because it was real, I guess, kind of bulky the way she had it set up, but she was just, you know, doing it the correct way. And so it's kind of cool to see that they invented that. It's weird that it ended up on that list, but yeah. And she's beautiful, by the way, but I don't know about a really hot woman with a blade coming at you.
What does the notch actually do? Is it? It's the speaker.
It surrounds the sensors. There's a bar of sensors in the top, I believe, like somewhere between 17 and 20. There's a metric crap ton of sensors up there that do everything from Face ID to cameras.
I think it's 7 or 9, yeah.
The speakers, oh my God, the one thing that goes in all the reviews that people don't hype enough, speakers in this phone is better than anything Apple's put out. And that's, I mean, the speakers sound like iPad Pro. In a little device, the speakers are as good as a 12-inch iPad Pro. Excellent. It's pretty mind-blowing.
There is a security issue, however, with face recognition. Now, someone's done the can I wear a mask, and it's come up, no, you can't. She's done a thing where she put a false moustache on, and it wouldn't let her get in with it. And also, she's done a thing with printing a silicone mask in the Wall Street Journal, and that didn't do it. But she did triplets and that worked, and we're not going to do that one because we know that Apple said we won't be able to do identical features. There is a video, however, of a woman who's unlocked it with her son. Now, I don't know if this is BS or not, but I'm just going to play it for you now.
I can tell you why that works after you go through this.
Let's go through the video.
I started using my face, but the annoying part is my 10-year-old son can unlock my phone using his face. So let me give you guys a little demo of it.
That'll be notifications.
As you
then,
can
sorry.
See, the phone is locked. I'm going to unlock the phone. It's unlocked now. And I'm going to lock the phone again. I'm going to give it to Omar, and he's going to do the same thing.
Sorry. Okay.
So this is my mom's phone. As you can see, this is locked. And I'm going to unlock this phone using this handsome face.
Not precocious.
Ta-da! It's unlocked.
And the dude dabs. There we go. So now then, tell us, Adam, why did that work?
That worked because Apple, they posted a white paper that goes into all the details about how the Face ID technology works, and there's a number of things going on here. Now, initially I would have said it was because at one point he had used her passcode and unlocked the phone, because the iPhone is designed to be a learning system, and this is to handle scenarios where, say you had a giant full mustache and beard, and then one day you decide to shave it off, right? And now your whole facial profile has completely changed. The way the system handles it is the first time you go to use that phone after shaving your face, it's probably going to fail on Face ID, and it's going to ask for the passcode. When you put in the passcode, it is going to look at the scan that it made and go, okay, that was within a threshold that I think is probably you, but is it, but I'm not 100% certain, so I'm not going to let you face ID unlock the phone. By entering the passcode, you've now confirmed to the system, oh, this really is you because you know the passcode, and oh, that facial scan, I thought it was you. And then it adds that to its database of knowledge and says, okay, something has changed about your looks, your face. I am now going to accept this for a period of time as you, this new scan as being valid. And then from that point forward, it's going to continue to unlock the phone for you. Now, if your face changes back enough to where it's the old way, so this, the example would be, you know, someone who never wears makeup and then wears heavy makeup one night and then goes back, it will throw out at some point that scan. Apple doesn't define when that happens. But basically, it's a system that's learning and adapting to your face. So a lot of these videos, what's happening where it's a sibling or someone like that, the sibling has put in the passcode and it's now learned the new facial profile and it's added it to that to its learning system and it's learning it. Now, with this specific video, I happen to know they were interviewed and the woman was asked if that's what they did. They say they didn't do that. How we confirm that other than believing them, I don't know. But the other part of the system is that Apple is also very clear that for anybody under the age of 13, the Face ID system is not, does not work well because children don't have really defined facial features yet. And if you look at this kid, he does look a lot like his mom. So I think in this case, it is purely just fooling the system, but Apple already says in the white paper, hey, we don't guarantee the accuracy for kids under the age of 13. And if you're worried about this stuff, you need to use it. You need to use a passcode.
What's worrying about?
And I mean, children and siblings are close enough to each other that this can happen. I mean, both cases. So one learning it and the other part simply thinking it's the mother. I mean, I think it's for most kids that at a certain age, it's the case that they look like their parents or even their mother.
Who's most likely to steal your Apple Pay and use it with behind your back?
Okay, so can we address this issue? Because this is part of a bigger issue as a parent that you're going to get me on a rant because this just drives me absolutely batty. All right?
Go on.
If your kids are not supposed to be on your phone, they should not be on your phone, and you shouldn't need some other system to keep your kids off the phone. If you do, then you've got a bigger problem. And also just use a passcode. I mean, if your kid is not to be trusted that much, and, you know, I think that's a sign of a bigger problem. Like, be a parent.
Agreed. Sorry. I've been saying that for years, and people are like, you don't understand, you don't have kids. I'm like, I understand I got my ass whipped when I was a kid for not following instructions. All you got to do is be disciplined. And my dad was proof that you could be a solid disciplinarian and still be cool as hell. Right, my mom on the other case, she was just a total.
Sorry, and I don't want to sound like I'm on a high horse. I know that there's exceptions, and there's certain probably places where that doesn't work. But if you know that's your kid, then you're going to have to use a passcode.
No,
sorry,
Adam. So here's the reason why it drives me crazy. All right, so there are such things as you have a kid that might have a behavioral issue, right? Statistically, you are an exception to the rule. We don't all need to change because of you. You just adapt to your situation because that's a hand you've been dealt. You work with it. You do the best you can. You get your support, whatever, whatever. That's one thing. But people literally get mad. Like, they want the entire company to change something because they have something that doesn't work in their sort of favor. And I agree. Like, for the most part, 9 out of 10, maybe 99 out of 100, maybe even more than that, most kids, if you have a decent set of parents, they tell you not to do something, you kind of sort of don't do it until you're about 13. Then there's a different, there's a different story.
I mean, God, if my kid grabbed my phone and went to town on like Candy Crush or whatever, you know, or I don't know what game has in-app purchases, but, you know, spent up the credit card, you know, there'd be all kinds of ramifications. And I wouldn't blame Apple or Apple's technology for that problem and say, oh, Apple's got to fix this. No, that's my kid has a serious problem that I need to deal with.
I'm not doing away lines on air anymore. It's no fun.
Jesus
Christ.
No, but the problem is you're using it as a throwaway line, and I get that. But the internet at large and a lot of tech journalists and a lot of people out there are not, and they're dead serious about thinking this is a problem. So this isn't addressing specifically what you said, but it's addressing what our community is like, how our community is reacting and just saying no.
You know what I'm curious to, Adam, to you and James and Will, is it different for you? Because here we have this, the whole people are supposed to change to the way I want it mentality that has taken over our entire country, and it's pretty insane. It's getting to the point where it's nauseous. Do you have the same problem with the entitlement, say, in the UK, or is it a cultural thing for US?
I don't understand the question.
The entitlement, like, how's the entitlement situation look like on the other side of the pond? Like, we have a serious entitlement problem here. Like, everything should be bent to my will because that's just how. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. If you haven't seen it, if you witness it and you feel it, you would probably want to punch most of the entitled people in their face because it's just how it is.
I was joking.
Yeah. If you haven't experienced it, I don't know what it's like. I'm asking you. How's it over there?
I personally was working at the Apple store and I had a guy who came up to me, and he had his 14-year-old son with him, and he said, I want this new iPhone. I forget which model it was. And I said, well, unfortunately, there's a big queue outside, and unless you're better than anybody else, I suggest you join the queue. I said it with a bit of a plum in my mouth, obviously. And he says, well, I do think I'm better than anybody else. And he stared at me straight in the face, and I turned to look at his son and just thought, oh, dear God, you poor child. This is what you're growing up with. Your father thinks he's better than everybody else, and he's too good enough to stand in the queue with everybody else who wants the new phone. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that to me as sincere and as honest as that. And this was a 55-year-old business guy with his 14-year-old son, you know, tagged behind. I thought, well, there's no hope for him. But, you know, I was working in Birmingham at the time, so there you go.
I'm better than all you lot, but I still turn up most weeks. Apple, we're done. We're really done on that subject, and I don't want to hear it ever again on the show. Are we clear? Even if there's a throwaway line. Apple shares new What's a Computer ad focusing on iPad Pro features. I watch this with interest because I've got two things in my head, and I'm not going to sound stupid here, I don't think. There's a lot of me sits and thinks, I think Apple have got a problem because they're not selling very many iPads and they need to sell a few more of them in their own mind because their supply chain is set up to sell more iPads than they're currently selling, which is why they keep pushing these adverts on iPad. But having said that as well, my daughter is absolutely wrapped on her iPad. She loves her iPad and she won't do without it. And she's got a crack across the top of it. And I can see us having to replace it for her this Christmas or at a birthday because she does not want to do without her iPad and she adores it. So I don't know whether these are genuine adverts poking at kids and saying kids should be watching these because you know, no one's going to want a MacBook Pro in a few years because it's too unreliable. I mean, sorry, that's not what I meant. or whether they've got a sales problem that they're trying to fix with it.
I think it's legitimate. I mean, my kids are sounds like a lot like yours, Ewan. They prefer, I mean, to the point where I'll catch my daughter just working on schoolwork on her iPhone because they have older iPad minis that have gotten kind of slow, and we probably do need to swap some iPads out for them as well. But they love the iPad, and they're actually forced. My kids are forced to use Chromebooks at school, and they want to just like basically die when they have to do that. And they don't understand why they can't just have iPads. I think it's a legitimate thing. I think there's going to be a whole generation of kids that respond exactly the way that kid responds at the end of that commercial. And I don't, for people who haven't seen it, I don't want to give anything away.
No, but it's interesting because Deep Pan in the chat room says it's a really interesting ad right up until the last line when it's just crap.
Well, that's because he's old dude like we all are probably, I'm assuming.
There you go, yeah, Deep Pan, you grumpy old bastard.
I'm going to point about the Chromebooks.
Am I wrong? I don't know. I shouldn't assume things.
Go on, Will.
I was going to say, Chromebooks, in some ways, I think, for education are a better option. than iPads. So with an iPad, when you finish the, or the child finishes their lesson, and they then you need to use some sort of MDM technology, and Apple do a good job of providing that. Whereas with a Chrome, but all of the sort of the storage, the processing, and everything else is stored locally. That then it needs to be taken off and then put onto a server. Whereas with a Chromebook, everything goes straight to the cloud. Everybody uses exactly the same operating system all the time, and the same version of the productivity tools for their work. So, and you know, a disclaimer: I did a lot of work with Google, and I found in schools that they're really, really good. And I think maybe, Adam, have you been sort of waking up in the middle of the night and saying, "Apple, you must have Apple," and then she goes to school and she says, "Oh, Daddy, I'm so confused about this. What do you think?"
No, that's not happening.
Brainwashing it. You're brainwashing your daughter.
It's the disciplinarian approach of Adam that's making him just,
I think the biggest problem is, for some reason, she keeps telling me, I don't know, I need to look into this deeper. Something about the keyboard shortcuts and just how you do things on the Chromebook are a little funky.
That's true.
That's the biggest problem.
I'm doing coding with Emma on a Chromebook that they got for her school and stuff like that. And she always complains to me about the way things work because she's used to the iMac and the iPad Pro. And she always, how come I can't do this? And I'm like, no. And she says, well, how come I can't just do that? I'm like, you just can't. It's different. She goes, well, I don't like this. I like the other one.
That's brainwashing as well. I can tell it.
But it's even like basic functionality. Like you can't even enable it. Like, and I want to say it's something like cut, copy, paste, which sounds really weird. But you know, it's something at that level where it's just like you got to go to the menu bar to do something. And it's like, why do I have to go to the menu bar to do something?
One thing that I find is funny is we have an HP printer and it's an HP Chromebook, and she has to print by sending it to the HP email address versus the standard printer functionality. Like, they didn't even put AirPrint in a Chromebook that they made and gave away the free matching printer with. It's kind of stupid.
There's a raging debate going on in the Slack room because Magic Man said maybe Apple are getting a lot of pressure from the Surface, which I didn't think so either. But someone's saying I don't think so, Magic Man, which is Patrice. And I don't see that either, I have to say. Glenn BTN is saying maybe it's time for Apple to put in mouse support for the iPad.
Oh, no. Please don't.
No. Not at all.
Well, they've already got a stylus, haven't they? I mean,
the whole point is that it's not a computer, or not a quote unquote, it is a computer, obviously, but not a quote unquote traditional computer. It is a different thing and something for, you know, the future. It's not, we're not going to go back. You know, that'd be like saying, let's all go, you know, let's put a command line into it as well.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I would like that, but I don't think
I would love that too. and we both can kind of do that, but
yeah, we both grew up with the, what you call the traditional computer. So for us, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm quite happy with the pencil as an interface. I can see some applications where I'd like to use, certainly things like the Photoshop-y type stuff. But then the pencil does really, really well at that. So,
Well, I mean, the mouse is a pointing device, right? It's a pointing and clicking device, and you can point and click very easily on an iPad without a mouse.
Yeah, but you can say, I suppose I'm not really talking about that in some ways. I'm talking about the counter argument that, so you bring iPads into school, and then how do they write letters and numbers easily and quickly? But then they have to get Bluetooth plumbing keyboards that need to be charged.
That's us, because we came from keyboards. I look at people who basically started with an iPad and look at the way they type, and it's not even kids. This is like an elderly person, like Karen's mom. You know, she's 70-ish. I won't say the real number, but she never had a computer until me. I put the computer in the house, and that was so I wouldn't be solidly bored on Sundays, which is in-laws day. And then I gave her my old iPad to put it in her kitchen so that she can listen to her recipe shows and watch Japanese news. Now, the way she types on an iPad, she can't type on a keyboard because she was never raised on a keyboard. And we're not just saying kids like that. This is an elderly person that learned basically to type from the keyboard on an iPad. So it is different to make that switch. And if you've done it long enough or you committed to it, say like Frederico, you probably don't want to go back to a standard keyboard. And I tried to give her my old keyboard case and she goes, no, that's too big. I like to touch the screen. So I got her those chef sleeves. I don't know if you guys seen these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whenever you're cooking, you just slide your iPad in that sucker. And I mean, you could use a Ziploc bag, but this is a little bit, you know, nicer. And I made her a cool little wooden stand and she sits there and she tries out her recipes and, you know, FaceTimes to her sister in Okinawa and gossip, whatever old ladies talk about, you know, at 100 miles an hour in a Japanese I can't understand. But yeah, it's amazing. And if it's in your system, it's in your system. Yeah. In your brain, it's in your brain. It's hard to
think. You can't say, though, that an iPad is as intuitive when it comes to typing, because children still need to learn to type. I know that sounds an old-fashioned thing, but they need a keyboard. They really do. And that's where the Chromebook excels, really.
There is a keyboard on the iPad.
Yeah, it's but just you have a virtual to implement... One. It's not real, is it? It's not proper.
Well, you see the intelligence.
I don't think you get the productivity out of an iPad that you do out of something with your keyboard.
I've seen people who can type faster on you're screen than I can type on keyboard. You're talking about
you as
an I,
not you as in someone else.
Sorry.
Well, so I've been typing a book on photography all through the summer, and I did it on the commute down to a summer job at Waterloo Station, and on a couple of the days I took my iPad and I wrote whole sections of the book on the iPad typing. So I don't see
with the on-screen keyboard.
With the on-screen keyboard, yeah. And yeah. I've got the Logitech keyboard up here, but I find it so bulky that I rarely carry it around with me now. I just use the on-screen keyboard and that'll do.
Yeah. And it's fast. I really like the smart keyboard on my iPad, but I would say it's about a 50-50 split. It just depends on if I'm at a table or something like that, I'll usually flip out the keyboard. But I mean, if I'm just sitting on the couch or lounging back, it's usually just the on screen. I'll usually pull the keyboard cover off.
Deepan can have the final.
Same here.
Deepan can have the final word. If anyone in enterprise turned up to a meeting with a Chromebook, they'd either get laughed out of the room or just sacked. There we go.
Yep.
Hold on. I used to work in enterprise, and you all used to use Chromebooks, so he can shove up his ass if he's not with you. Should I say that?
Yeah, no, you can't say that. Right.
No, too late. You already said it.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. Please, please, please support them. I bought a couple of domains this week. So my little enterprise down here at the studio is now Kozel Studios, and I've got kozelstudios.co.uk. I can't do anything with it because I'm crap, but I will get people that can help me to do things with it. But that's a UK2, and I used my British Tech Domains offer code, and I got £2 off the price, and it was fine and dandy. So please, please, please go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors to get your offer codes, or /UK2 to sign into your account, and then we get kudos because they know that you're a customer that came from BTN. They love us and we love them. And also keep an eye out for Hoya, because in the new year, a lot of the practices will get Uniku machines, and you'll be able to go and get yours tested out. So keep going and keep plugging away there at your local opticians, getting them to try and get Hoya in. And go in and tell them about Uniku, because you're interested and you want to have a go at it. I'm going to get my nose problem fixed next month, I think, if I get a chance, and get the old crooked thing sorted out with the scanner. That's not like me going to get me nose straightened. That's the Hoya don't do that. I think they just rescan my face. So okay. And we'll do the spider competition next week, because we'll have the big show next week. There's only one show this week, which is why we've not done the next one. But if we do that next week, then that means you should all get your spider fives in time for Christmas. So that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We've only been running it for 6 months. Time for the cool thing. Starts off dog.
Okay,
stick your link in the chat room, please.
basically mine is super, super simple. I've been, you know, naturally got the iPhone 10, and when the iPhone 10 comes out, the first thing you gotta do is go out and find yourself a case. It's maddening out there. The amount of cases that just came out are kind of insane. But I did something this go around that I didn't think that I would like, but I bought it because Anchor sent me a coupon code, and so I ended up buying this case. The case cost me only $8, or it was $7.99. So I bought two different versions, and I have one on my phone right now. The other one, I'll send you the link so you can look at it for yourself. But it's called the Carapax, whatever, K-A-R-A-P-A-X, Carapax shield case. So the one that I like the most, it basically is sort of like an OtterBox or a Bullet Shield, but it doesn't have all of the front heaviness. So it's still relatively light. And it's a tight, slim-fitting case with nice rubberized TPU sides, and the rest of it is polycarbon. And what's nice about that case is it will actually provide some drop protection, but it's not heavy and bulky. The one that I'm currently sporting right now is the similar version, and it has a kickstand. And I always thought these things were stupid until I got one, because it allows things like, you know, stick it between your fingers and give yourself a little leverage when you're kind of hand-holding it, you know, trying to do a side photo or something. And you can watch that way. You can watch that way. It clips back into the body. What makes this cool is it came with a little carabiner so that if I do want to hook it on my bag or something, if I'm out and I need my hands a little bit more free, but I want the phone kind of nearby, you can use that as a hook. I've been using the hook to hang it on the thing in the bathroom because the phone is waterproof. I can hang it in the shower and listen to the podcast with even better clarity without having to blare the Bluetooth speaker when Ewan makes me wake up at 4 a.m. That way I can listen to the podcast without bothering the old lady. So check out the Anchor cases on, of course you can pick them up at Amazon, and this case is amazing. Like I never thought I would like it because it's kind of ugly, but utility wise, it's fantastic. And it's $8. Never mind buying a $50 Apple case.
Well done. I like that. Excellent. Cool thing. Very good. $8 is money well spent. Adam, what have you got for us?
I have something that's kind of fun if you have an iPhone X. And unfortunately, it's free, but unfortunately, you're going to have to work for it a little bit. You guys know if I say the name Guillermo Rambo, who that is? He's a developer, also one of the guys responsible for some of the iPhone 10 leaks and things like that. He's been messing around with the Animoji feature. So we know we got Animoji Karaoke and all that stuff with Animoji. One of the things that you couldn't do is do like a full screen recording of Animoji to do your little videos and things like that. And so he worked on a app. It uses some private APIs, so you have to actually download the code and get a developer account and build it and sideload it onto your iPhone. But if you do, you can record Animoji as long as you want in full screen. You can change the background color so they don't just have to be on white. And also, in this little app, he threw in support for ReplayKit. So if you want to do live streams as your favorite Animoji onto the live stream services that support it, like actually YouTube, you can do that too. So it's a fun little thing to play around with. But again, you're gonna have to get a developer account, get Xcode, and build and load it yourself.
Right. Cool. Good stuff, mate. Like that. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I got an app that was recommended or picked or whatever in the editorial section by Apple. It's called App in the Air, and it is a travel app. I saw that, and I mean, since I'm quite often traveling for my company, I was looking for something that allows me to manage all the bookings, hotel, flights, cars, whatever. And this app is actually pretty nice. They just added the iPhone X support. And what it allows you to do is, you can sync it with Tribit if you have that, or you can just use it straight away, or just send everything into that app directly. And it, as I said, it reads the emails that you get from the hotel or from your travel agency or whatever. I mean, we have a company booking system, and it supports that as well. And what I found really cool is that it it allows you to automatically check into flights. So you basically give it the information that it needs, like, I don't know, your passport and whether you want to sit window or aisle seat, on a window or aisle seat and front or back and all of that. And the second check-in is available, it does it automatically. And I quite like to use that because I don't have time to check in into every single flight. So it's actually pretty cool. It's, for the most part, it's free. There is a premium version if you want to have the, I think, the auto check-in and some family flight notifications. You can do sharing with your family and so on, if you want the more advanced features. But the basic level features, you get quite a lot out of it, and that part is free.
Excellent.
Cool.
Very cool. Free as well. Like that. Will, have you got a cool thing for us?
Yeah, I have. It is called, now if you're a fan of this podcast or a fan of podcasts anyway, and you want to create your own, this is a really great way of doing it. It's free for sort of basic functionality, but even the paid subscription is very reasonable. And it's called Spreaker. That's spelled Spreaker. There's a Mac version, but there's also a version for your iPhone. And Jim and I were sitting in Rome, and we said, okay, let's record a bit about Rome. And so I've got a very old iPhone. It's an iPhone 5C green. Not that it makes any difference. But we put it between us, and we talked about it and stuff like that, and then said stop. Thing. And the audio quality is absolutely superb, considering it was just an old iPhone sat between us in a very busy area, and it's obviously got compression and got all sorts of stuff going on with it, and EQ and things. It takes it all part and parcel of its functionality. It's absolutely superb, and then you can then sync it with the Mac-based Spreaker Studio. I don't know whether they do a Windows version. They may do. I don't know. Not having a Windows machine, I wouldn't know. But yes, Spreaker Studio, if you're interested in getting into podcasting. Brilliant.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Like that. James, what have you got for us, mate?
Yes, sure. I've got something called Hootsuite. It's been around for a very long time, but yeah. I remember you, and you mentioned a social media sharing app. I'm currently doing a media campaign for somebody at the moment, and I kind of used one that you mentioned, I think, on the Splat Room. But I found out when I tried to add Instagram, it wanted me to pay extra money to add Instagram on it. So I found Hootsuite. And again, I do know it's been around a long time. But basically, if you're running a social media campaign with somebody and you're going to use Twitter, your Facebook page, which it knows the pages that you've got on Facebook to link to, and obviously Instagram, Twitter, all that business, it will just basically, you set your tweets up on Monday and you say, right, publish this on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night, and basically it'll manage the whole thing for you. It's really good, and most of all, it's free, which I love. That it's really good, and it works really well. It's really a simple interface, and adding a media account seems to be simple enough. There may be better ones out there, but at the moment I needed it to run this thing this week, and it just worked flawlessly. I was tweeting at 7:30 in the morning, as people know. I don't normally get up till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so job's good.
Excellent, mate, you lazy bastard.
Tweeted at 7:30, rocking it. My mate thinks I'm great. Did you really wake up at 7:30 to do that tweet? Yeah, I'm just got to do it for you, mate. It's the least I can do.
Yeah, I think Paul Wheatley uses Hootsuite a lot.
It's very good, and again, the interface is beautiful. I had a colleague actually at worked at Apple with me, and he went to go and work for them in London, and before I knew it, he's now in California working for them. So they're a big company, and obviously they must have a paid-for model there somewhere. It seems to be a good thing. But free, jump on board Hootsuite.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. My cool thing was actually found by Righty Boy, and he's written a review on it. If you want to get to have a look, britishtechnetwork.com/reviews, and you can have a look at Righty's review of MRR, and it is awesome. So Adam's been going on about the emoji suite there. If you would like your own emoji suite, but you're not buying an iPhone 10 for the facial recognition, etc., then this program is free, and it does very much the kinds of things that you've seen in the Apple stuff. This is me with the lion's face. I was really impressed with how well that tracked and moved as well. That was really, really cool. Here's me taking a bit of a relax in the car this morning and trying on a face mask. And then there's an ugly mug as well, which probably you'd say is an improvement on me for normal. But it is.
I know somebody that looks like brilliant. That.
Actually, when I showed it to Sharon, she went, ooh, and I said, Martin Wilkins next door. She went, oh, yes, it is. So there you go. it is absolutely brilliant. The only thing is it put hashtag MMR, MMR on the bottom, but there's no in-app purchases or anything like that. It's free. And you can do, it's got the chicken, it's got panda, it's got the shit, it's got all of the stuff that that there is. They're not particularly as good, I don't think. But it's got some effects as well. So when you open your mouth, bubbles come out of them, or if you open your mouth, fire comes out of it, or a rainbow comes out. And there's a whole pile of stuff, and it's well worth the money. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK. And somewhere reading Ewan's book about photography when he sends me the pre-flight so I can check it.
I'm up to about 12,000 words at the moment, so I'll send it over for you to proofread. That's not a problem.
I can't read. I just want to read what you wrote. No, I'm joking.
It's all right.
That's awesome of you, though. I'm congratulations on your endeavor. And if you need anything as far as getting it out, let me know.
Yeah. I will. No, I'll need the help. I'll definitely need help getting it out. Jesus. that's a given.
Hey.
No. I'm not inferring anything by that other than I am crap at that kind of promotional stuff. So, yeah, I'll definitely take some help.
Did you know that if you sorry, real quick. Did you know that if you sell X amount in the first week that it goes on the bestsellers list? So one of the tricks of the trade, I learned this from my ex-girlfriend who has a bestseller book, you get all your friends and family to buy the first set of copies at this crazy, like really insane promotional rate where they can buy like 100 copies at X amount of dollars, and it all flushes through and it counts on the first day sales as your bestseller. If you do like 10,000 in a week, you go on the bestsellers list.
Yeah, you don't have to sell a lot, do you, to get on bestsellers list? It's not much.
No, it's the time frame that you sell it in.
Yeah.
If you can do it really, really fast, which we can set up through a bunch of pre-orders and stuff like that, or you know, Patreon and, you know, subscribers of the show, you do like a preliminary price that lets everybody jump in early, but they all have to buy it, say, on December 1st, then you have that swell. Same thing you do when you launch apps, so you end up on Apple's page.
Cool. I'm at 30, so, maybe 40.
So what you're saying, when you say you're on the bestsellers list, is it like, so you can put it on Amazon and all the other Barnes & Noble and stuff
like that? Yeah, it's like being Grammy nominated. Once you're a bestseller, you're a bestseller forever. So it's a great title to have. And once you have that, you get paid more for speaking gigs and the whole nine yards.
Well, what I'm saying is, though, if I put a book on, say, Amazon and ask all my mates, would it automatically be on like the bestseller list on Barnes & Noble at the same time, or do you have...
Yeah, because a lot of places interchange lists. So, for instance, New York Times bestseller list is the one you want, but then Amazon bestsellers list is nothing to bark at because that's probably more beneficial to you now than, say, being a New York Times list, other than the sort of wiener measuring exercise of saying I'm a New York Times bestseller. So, yeah.
Ace.
Next.
Sorry about that. Adam, where can we get a hold of you? Sorry, there's some guys coming into the studio. Adam, where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me over at MacCast.com, MacCast on iTunes, and pretty much MacCast all over social media. And if you get a chance and are more into iOS stuff, check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Thanks, man. Patrice, where are you?
Well, almost every week here on the Mac Show, in the next couple of weeks in Austria and in the US. And everything I do on the new and improved thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thanks. Greeny boy, where are you?
BritishMac.com. And if you subscribe, there's a new version coming out, or not version, but an episode coming out tomorrow. So BritishMac.com, and you can follow me on Twitter as well, which is British Mac.
Someone did say in the chat room earlier, is Will in a witness protection program?
Yeah, well, it's James. He won't let me go. He locks the door, and then he chains me up.
That's a different thing.
That's a whole different thing.
Those two statements are mutually exclusive.
I'm out.
But no. Well,
It's so we don't get feedback. So if I'm in this room, Jim's in the other room, then we won't get the feedback.
Okay, that's very technical of you. And last but by no means least, Jamie Boy, where are you?
Hello, matey. Yes, thank you for having me once again. You can find me on Twitter at James Rickards. I have a great YouTube channel called RenderBots, and you can watch all my drone stuff, and I might teach you a little bit how to do motion graphics as well. So that's RenderBots, all one word, on YouTube. Thank you.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're back again next week, Thursday night for Big Show at 8 p.m. The old time as it used to be. And then on Friday, we'll be back for the Mac Show at 4 p.m. as normal. Have a great week, and thanks for listening.
James, can you render Greeny some friends?
Oh, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? I've got some of the best friends in the world, I can tell you that.
Eat lovely.